Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Coley Mick, and Steve Perrault.
Back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 310, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your 2020 Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Coley Mick, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, what up, Section 10 of the building?
In the motherfucking building, presented by Coors Light. Been sucking those down in Miami.
Yeah, you have.
That's right. Out here in Miami for the, what are they doing?
It's the like big game.
Yeah, the big game.
The big old game.
Yep, the spectacular football event. And boy, could I get used to Miami living. I'm out here. They give us a fucking suite. Everyone has a suite except for, I think, Brandon Walker. Everyone's got a private jacuzzi on their fucking balcony roof. Unbelievable. That's where I'm going. As soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going up. I'm going to take a little dip. Get in there with my little jimmies on. It's going to be great. I'm very excited for it. But before we do that, we got to talk a little baseball.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We got time. I mean, it's January 29th. The Red Sox still don't have a manager, which is fine. It's fine, by the way, because the investigation has not been completed. If the Red Sox have the investigation come out and it's like, Ron Renicki, Carlos Feblis, one of those guys, maybe they get named in it, then it's like you don't want to fire two managers in the same offseason. So anyone that's like, you don't even have a manager yet, it's like, well, there's reason behind that. There's logic behind that. Just fucking wait. Just wait your turn. It's okay. Everything's going to be fine.
Also, that's almost like people say that with the assumption that, oh, whoops. Like
forgot to get a manager.
Oh, we're so dumb. We're so stupid. Like, come on.
I won't rule that out.
Yeah. I mean, either they forgot to get a manager or maybe they just don't think it's that big of a deal. Or maybe the Red Sox are going to be so bad that no one wants to manage them. That's what it is.
This team sucks so much. Yeah. No one wants to be here.
Coley, I know how you feel about
everyone in the fucking world knows how I feel. And people still try and correct me like I'm going to change today.
No. I don't think you're going to change ever, and I respect that. But Marcus Lynn Betts, his name is all over the trade market here. We got the Padres involved. We got the Dodgers involved. I guess from what everyone's been writing is that the Padres are the most aggressive, but the Dodgers are kind of like the best fit in terms of lining up for what the Red Sox actually want. So, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have options if you're the Red Sox. It's a bad thing to trade your best player if you also want to win baseball games next year.
Typically, that hurts your chances of winning.
Yeah. So we had Red Sox stats on Twitter tweeted out like a timeline of the Red Sox offers and Mookie rejecting.
Great job. Great job, by the way. Been some great updates there.
Yeah, Red Sox stats on Twitter is a must follow. So that kind of prompted, I think, Lou Maloney went on WEEI, and he was like, well, Mookie Betts turned down 10 years and $300 million, which was kind of out there, kind of not out there. Like, I feel like that should have been a bigger story. Like, Mookie Betts rejects 10 years, $300 million. Like, when Bryce Harper rejected that very same offer from the Nationals, it was front page news. When Mookie Betts turns down 10 years, $300 million from the Red Sox, it was never, like, officially confirmed, but, like, it kind of is now, and it's crazy because, you know, the casual sports fans like, oh my God, how much money do you need?
10
years, $300 million. Oh, you're going to scoff at that? Well, then get the fuck off my team then. Oh, you don't want to play in Boston? Then fucking leave. It's not about that. It's not about how much money he's turning down. It's that he's probably has a very strong case for the second best position player in baseball behind Mike Trout. So if that's who you are and that's the resume that you're bringing into free agency, then guess what? It's up to you to set the market, because believe it or not, Mike Trout and his $430 million that he got from the Angels, kind of a hometown discount. That guy could have gotten way more. He didn't. So 10 years, $300 million, turned down by Mookie Betts, and he counters that. And this is the new information that comes from Lou Maloney that no one knew before. He counters with 12 years, $420 million. So when you look at that, you look at total dollars, you're like, holy shit, the Red Sox offered Mookie Betts $300 million, and he wants $420 million. Well, yeah, that's a big gap in total dollars, but what it really is, 12 divided by 420 is, Coley?
35.
An AAV, average annual value of $35 million, which is completely reasonable for Mookie Betts to ask for. $35 million is probably, like, I would have said that he could have asked for $36 million, somewhere in there. So, but the problem isn't so much the money. Everyone's talking about the money. It's not the money. It's the years. 12 years would take him up to his age 39 season. That's irresponsible. If you're the Red Sox, 10 years, $300 million, it seems a little light. And it's weird to say $300 million to one player is a little bit light, but when you're talking about a player of Mookie Betts' caliber, it's light. His average annual value should be around $35 million, not $30 million. So what you've got to do is say to yourself, okay, we're not doing 12 years. We're not going to do 11. So how about 10 years, $350 million? Because I think that that's probably closer to what he's actually going to get. Mookie right now can ask for whatever he wants to ask for because he's not a free agent until next winter. The only team that he can negotiate with is the Boston Red Sox. So he can ask for whatever the fuck he wants. When he, or if and when he goes to free agency next winter and he's still saying, hey, I want 12 years, $420 million, and no team offers him that, that number has to come down. So if you're the Red Sox, you're probably wise to trade him because you know you're not going to sign an extension. Like, if that's what he wants, all right, we're going to get something for you because, I mean, you don't want to play ball. That's fine. We'll trade you. We'll get something in return for you. And then you can go to free agency.
Why? Like, wait. Why is that him not wanting to play ball?
Because $420 million over 12 years is just not happening. Like, if but he goes to free agency.
Did he say, like, I won't sign for a penny less than that? Because that's what I missed from the report.
No, but if that's what you're asking for, then you're obviously, you're not willing to have, like, a.
If you ask for
$420 million from one team, you're not then going to be like, all right, 350 sounds good. But
yeah, he's telling the Red Sox, like, hey, you're putting me below Harper. You're putting me below a lot of players that I'm much better than. Let's wake the fuck up and get me closer to the second highest paid player in the league behind the guy everyone agrees is better than me. But I'm number two. Most people agree with that. Some people want to say Yelich. Some people want to say Bellinger. Bellinger was getting fucking benched in the World Series a year ago. I wouldn't have Bellinger's name
in that conversation.
No, this is just what I've seen on Twitter because there's been a lot of fucking idiots yelling at me. It's not on Mookie Betts to lower his total. That's not his job. That's not what I'm saying.
He doesn't need
job.
To take a hometown right. discount. Why would you?
The Red Sox are the ones who aren't playing ball here. 10-300 is a fake offer. It's an insulting offer. It's specifically
agreed.
So that when they trade him, they could be like, well, we offered him 10-300. What do you want from us? It was never, if Mookie said yes, they would have pulled the offer. They wouldn't have signed him to that. They want to trade him. This is the same team. I know it's different GM, but it's the same ownership. That trashed Terry Francona on the way out of town. They've trashed a lot of people on the way out of town. They're doing it again here with Mookie Betts. And anyone else who's just bought, like, if you've bought into trading him, fine, whatever. But if you're all in on saying this is Mookie's fault, you're an asshole. You're a dumb asshole. It's not.
I don't think it's Mookie's fault because I've said all along, and this is kind of where, like, if you're a fan of baseball, if you're a fan of the Red Sox, you should always be on the player side because these owners are. I mean, they're raking in a shit ton of money profiting off of these players on the field. The players deserve their slice of the pie. That's why, you know, I've seen people on Twitter be like, $420 million, like, they're ruining baseball. Like, they're ruining baseball. Well, it boils down to $35 million a year, and you consider what the owners are making, then, yeah, it's pretty fair for what, you know, like, what the Major League Baseball every single year is seeing record record revenue every single year. That's why the baseball is dead crowd have much of a leg to stand on, because every single year you'll see record revenue in the billions. So for a player to be like, all right, like Major League Baseball is bringing in what, $9 billion a year, that it's that industry. How about a little kick again? Like $35 million is not that much in the grand scheme of things when you consider how much money the game itself is bringing in. $35 million to me or you annually, yeah, that's a fuck ton of money. But when you talk about the money that's coming in compared to the money that's going back to the players, that's why you should be looking at it as you want the players to get paid. So that's why all along I've said if Mookie Betts wants to go to free agency, he's earned that right, because that is where he's going to see the most money. And if you are, like Coley said, you have a case for second best player in Major League Baseball, you deserve to be paid as such. But I mean, the Red Sox, like, I mean, I agree with you. 10 years, $300 million. Like, I'm not even picking up the phone. Like, if I got an email with 10 years, $300 million, and then the subject line was "Give us a call, let's talk," I'd be like, "Fuck you, no chance."
It's no insulting. Chance. Yes. It's the most insulting $300 million contract offer in the history of $300 million of all time.
I can't believe personally that people are looking at that deal and say and seeing Mookie turn it down. And then thinking, oh, he clearly doesn't want to be in Boston. I was seeing a lot of that reaction. That makes literally no sense. Mookie Betts is going to get the value that he thinks he deserves and that everybody thinks he deserves. Clearly not the Red Sox. I know they're just doing this to try to say that they actually offered him something.
Also,
that was
big. In fairness to the Red Sox, we don't know if they've made an offer higher than 10 years, 300. That's just the last one that we know of.
For sure. Also, when did that happen? Do we know when that happened?
I think it was after, was it in 2019?
Maybe. Like I don't know.
Wasn't it?
Was it before the 2019 season?
Maybe. That's why I'm asking.
I feel like that number has been around for a while.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But the whole argument was like Mookie won't even negotiate. Well, now he's negotiating. Like, you want to say whatever about – like, I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, well, he thinks he's worth $60 million a year more than that. No, that's not how math works. Like you said, they offered him $30 million. He asked for $35 million. He asked for two more years. I'm not as caught up on the years thing, but that's because I thought I was a fan of the Boston Red Sox.
This is spring. So Red Sox stats have this. 2017 rejects 5 years, $100 million. Good call. 2018 rejects 8 years, $200 million. Good call. Spring 2019 rejects something north of Machado's 10 years, $300 million. Speculation that Betts wants Trout's $400 plus million. So like the Mike Trout money thing, that's been talked about or rumored since before this past season. And Lou Maloney putting out the 12 years, 420 was the first time that we saw an actual number in year amount put to it. But yeah, I mean, like for people, because fans are all over the place on this, and I feel like a lot of it's
ridiculous. The reactions are ridiculous.
The reactions are ridiculous, but it's because you can tell it's for misinformation. Like if you're like, fuck Mookie, get him out of here, that's, you're misinformed. Because to Coley's point about, oh, he just doesn't want to be in Boston, it's not that he doesn't want to be in Boston. He just wants to get paid what he's worth. If that happens to be the Red Sox, so be it. But I think it's pretty well established at this point that Mookie Betts will go to the highest bidder. He wants to get paid what he's worth. And every player who plays this game pretty much just wants to get paid what they're worth.
And why is that a problem? Like, I hate that we look at so many fans look at this as like, oh, dude, he wants nothing to do with us. This guy sucks. I will never understand that. This guy's trying to get paid the value that he is owed. Aren't we all trying to do that? Like, if you got offered an extra $100 million or whatever the comparison is in your job and you're not going to take that because of what, loyalty or something? Like what are we talking about here? I don't get the,
and it's happened before in baseball where someone, and Cliff Lee is the example that always gets brought up. Like a player will take a little less to go to the team that he actually wants to go to. But in the cases where players have taken a little bit less to go to the team that they actually want to go to, they're not the generational talent that Mookie Betts is. Like,
they're a piece of the puzzle. They aren't like the biggest piece of the puzzle.
Like you're a name for sure. Like if you're talking about like the, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever, you're a big name. Like Manny Machado, it's like, you know, 10 years, $300 million. That's a fucking huge deal. Like what Manny Machado got. But when Mike Trout was negotiating with the Angels, like you are a once in a lifetime baseball player. If he went to free agency, he's getting more than that. And he chose not to. He chose to negotiate and stay with the Angels. And with Mookie Betts, he's choosing to go to free agency, and he has every right to do that. And when he does do that, he doesn't owe the Red Sox anything. Like, he doesn't owe anyone anything.
It drives me absolutely insane that we all think that, like, he owes us this, you know, lifetime deal with the Red Sox. Like, I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know where people are you know, thinking that he has to be here long term.
That's sports fans in general.
I understand it, but, like, we're fans too, but we're not idiots. Like, this guy's going to try to get his value, and people that are saying that, like, if there was a difference of, like, $10 million, $5 million, let's have a discussion. It's not even close.
They're off by over $100
million. They're off by over $100 million. So don't tell me that Mookie's asking for too much. He's asking for what he should be getting, maybe a little more, because that's how negotiating
works. He's asking for too many years. At the end of the day, like, that's all it is.
They're not signing a 12-year deal.
Like,
do you really care about those last 2 years? Like, honestly.
I mean, I don't want to be paying Mookie Betts $35 million when he's 39 years old. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, that's irresponsible. Like, obviously, I have no problem whatsoever with giving Mookie Betts an average annual value of $35 million compared to $30 million. But I do not want to be paying Mookie Betts $35 million when he's 38 and 39 years old. Like, that's especially, I mean, he's not a big guy. Like, how do you expect his body to hold up in his late
30s? Probably better,
like,
than a big guy's.
I don't know. I mean, it's. I mean, look at Dustin.
Like, he's not Pedroia diving every time at second base. Like, he's playing.
No, but I mean, it's. I mean, he's a very athletic. He relies on his athleticism. How does that age? I don't know. I mean,
to play out like at that point too. Like, a couple. If he was a fourth outfielder / DH when he's those last 2 years, if he's not contributing at all, this is the part I have the biggest problem with. People, if you're worried about paying him at 38 and 39, that's why you won't pay him for 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. That's stupid. Like, that's dumb. Like, that's 10 years of MVP level production you don't want to pay for 2 years of non. Like, that doesn't make, that math is bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. If I'm Heimblum, I'm not giving him 12 years. I'm not. Like, I would.
But that, I think that's even a different discussion, though. Like, Bloom wouldn't, but the idea is not crazy.
Also, if you're not, if it's like 12-420, like he just came back with supposedly, can they not structure it so it's like, all right, fine, you get 45 year five, and then you, at age 38, you get 10.
Yeah, they can, but I'm pretty sure, like, with the luxury tax, like, it's the hit is the average annual value. It's not the that year's salary.
Okay. Yeah, because then you could really mess with the tax if you just pushed it towards the back end.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the luxury tax hit would still be 35. All right. So
do we think where do we feel right now with, like, if he's getting traded or not? Because, like, this week has been probably
he's gone.
You 100% think so? I think he's gone too.
There's no reason the story comes out unless he's gone. We never hear, like, WEEI is owned by the Red Sox. Lou Maloney is an employee of the Red Sox. The reason we know Mookie's right now is so that they can paint him as the bad guy for leverage with the fan base for when they trade him. Most people right now think he's a bad guy. I don't think most people aren't on my side. Most people want him gone right now, which is crazy. Like, I've seen his postseason numbers and him called a choker more by Red Sox fans than any other fan base.
I think it's more, I don't know, it feels a little more balanced on my end. I know you've gotten a lot of garbage replies, Coley, but it's now at the point where I'm now waiting for that breaking Mookie Betts traded tweet from Passan, and I can smell it coming, and I hate that it's coming, but yeah, we also have to be realists here, and, like, this is, all the pieces are in place and have fallen in place recently that he's going to be gone. So
my biggest thing is, like, we keep talking about he's going to go to the highest bidder on free agency. That's why you have to trade them. Why are we no longer the highest bidder? Like, what's wrong with this team?
It's you know, Jared's written it. Oakland Red Sox.
I think it's not even the Oakland Red Sox. I think what's going on now with Mookie Betts and why the Red Sox would have to trade him is because 12 years is too many. And that's what he wants. And I think I'm not closing the book on Mookie Betts signing with the Red Sox in free agency. Like, I think
I'm close to it.
If they trade him, he's not coming back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back if they deal him.
I'm not ruling that out because I genuinely think that if Mookie is at 12 years, $420 million right now, and he's only allowed to talk to the Red Sox about money, if he goes to free agency and every team is like, 12 years, good fucking luck, pal, the the market is what the market is. Like that, just because you want it doesn't mean that you'll get it.
Just
like the Red Sox could come in free agency and be like, how does 10 years 370 sound, or 10 years 350 sound, or 360, something like that. And if that's the best offer, you're going to take it.
But don't we have to go back to the initial, like, this team is not giving these contracts out? Like, this version of the Red Sox is not doing that?
I mean, there it depends, because if you trade Mookie Betts right now and you get under the luxury tax, then it resets. Then you can pay him in a free agent 2 years from now.
In theory, yeah.
In theory. That's 100%. Like,
no, I'm saying in theory, they could sign it. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I know what you're
saying. If the Red Sox trade Mookie Betts right now and they get under the luxury tax, then it resets. So then you wouldn't have him for 2020. But if you re-sign him as a free agent for 2021, you're not worried about luxury tax penalties because you reset it the year before. They can pay him as a free agent for sure.
They're in a position where I'm going to be very interested to see if this actually goes down, because if not, you are really just wasting this year, right? Unless we're all in agreement that they have no chance either way of making a run.
2020 feels like a punt year.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because
it feels like they're punting intentionally. It doesn't feel like they have to.
It doesn't feel like all the Red Sox problems
are brought on by the Red Sox, no one else. Like, nothing that's happening to them right now is the cause of anyone else. Mm. And we've been criticized for quote unquote,
they don't have a manager because of the Astros.
Yeah, true.
Sure.
You're talking roster.
I don't think the manager is that big of an issue. I really don't. Like, I was talking about the financial issues that they have.
Yeah.
The financial issues that they have are completely brought on by them. If you go back to last year, they didn't give Dombrowski a contract extension because they didn't want to keep Dombrowski. They should have fired him the second they knew that, because we'd have zero problems right now if Chris Sale was just a free agent and left. We'd have none of these problems. We wouldn't be talking about trading Mookie Betts at all. We'd be like, all right, we're going to play out the season and re-sign him after that, because we'd be under the luxury tax threshold right now. That's the problem I have with the Chris Sale contract. I like Chris Sale. He's a great pitcher. He's an ace of the staff. He's an anchor. You need that guy. I have no problem paying him $5,150, because I thought I rooted for the Boston Red Sox, a team that historically, like, that's the good thing you can say about this ownership in the past. They'll pay whatever it takes. I know Fights has made that point a million times. You can never criticize them for not paying. So to pay Chris Sale, and then after that, make a complete 180. I don't understand how that makes any sense. Like, why did they allow that to happen if they knew they were going to change direction so violently in the opposite direction? That's the problem I have with all of this. And if they really wanted to keep Mookie, you could trade. Like, I keep saying, like, well, what are you going to trade Price for? You're not going to need prospects back. You're trading David Price so that you can keep Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing it. That's way better than any prospect you're going to get.
Price is a money thing, not a prospect thing. Yeah.
Right. So I don't understand how negligent this ownership can be to allow that contract to get signed, knowing that this was going to happen. Why give Dombrowski any power last season at all? Why not fire him earlier if this is how you're going to act with Mookie? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, one of the things, now that you just said that, about, like, you trade Price just to keep Mookie, David Price is probably already pissed off right now about being a throw-in. Like, when they were talking about trading,
oh, he absolutely is.
Betts for sure. And Price as a, and like Price is the throw-in in a deal.
Yeah.
He's probably already pissed off about that. So for if sure. they don't trade him, like, just imagine how, like, just moody he's going to be in spring training when he gets asked about the trade rumors and, like, oh, what'd you think about that? Like, he's going to, like,
Price
day
is moody
one.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I know, but, like, at least when you come into spring, it's like, the start of a new season, like, clean slate, like, day one. It's going to be like, hey, what'd you think about those trade rumors? And he's not.
Yo, let's be honest, though. Like, spring training is going to be awkward as shit. This is going to be, like, the weirdest Red Sox spring training ever. And ideally, they can just get past all the Cora and, you know, different vibe offseason questions early, so they don't have to worry about it as much. But it's not going to be a fun spring training for them at all. They don't have a manager, so it's like, first off, you got to figure out who that is. And if it's somebody out of house, then you have to build that relationship at the start of spring training. Normally that happens in what, December? And now you're going to have to do that in February, which is awkward.
Yeah.
Not normal.
Yeah. That was a very healthy, hearty baseball discussion that we just had here.
That's about as serious a discussion as you're going to get on Section 10 right there. That was very legit.
My problem with it is it's not even about baseball. It's about fucking dollars. And we're like, I didn't grow up rooting for the Kansas City Royals. I had Royals fans the other day being like, oh, I can't believe you're bitching over a team even allowed to make a $300 million offer. Like, that just told me that me and that guy don't even watch the same sport. And now my team's devolving into that, and it's sickening. It's not sick. You know, it's not sickening. Echelon. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in shape, in the best shape of your life, is with Echelon. That's right. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer high quality at home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. That's right. Echelon, they're not afraid to name names over at Echelon. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym again. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back, no questions asked. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/section10 to learn about their limited time free iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's Echelon, fit.com/section10. Echelonfit.com/section10.
I watched Moneyball on the flight to Miami. And the scene where Billy Bean is talking about all the different shit bums that they signed to play first base, and none of them know how to play first base. And they're like, yeah, like, well, right now, if someone hits a ground ball to first base, we don't have anyone over there to stop it. That was the Red Sox. And I don't think any one of us really realized that they just didn't have a first baseman. And then boom.
We had talked about Chavis. And I know you were saying he's not as it's not proven at first, but I had no issue with him being the first baseman.
I didn't really have it like it wasn't like a glaring issue with me. Like, I was willing to like give him the shot. And then obviously, like, I'm very high on Bobby Dalbec. He's a natural third baseman, but he's played a decent amount of first base in the minors. So you had guys that were like learning the position and grooming themselves to become first baseman, but no one that was like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm an actual major league first baseman. The Red Sox didn't have that guy. You bring back Mitch Moreland for $3 million to play first base for you. Oh,
and no, a lot of money for this team. Yeesh.
I mean, that's probably the highest fucking contract they've given out all offseason.
Him and Posada. Yeah.
Him and Malta Prado. Yeah, he comes back for $3 million. You get a gold glove first baseman. You get a guy who's got some pop in his bat. Yes, there are injury concerns. But if he does end up on the DL for any amount of time, you have Chavis, who's probably going to be like a roaming infielder at this stage of the game. And then
maybe Dalbec, a little left field, again. If I saw that correctly.
Yeah, that's in the case of like a Mookie Betts trade, which I think we're all in agreement here that's going to happen.
Yeah, most likely. I'm waiting for the passing tweet, all caps breaking.
Coley, you think what percentage do you have Mookie Betts being traded?
100.
Steve?
82.4.
I'm at 99.9.
Okay.
Which sucks.
Jared, what percentage are you at of slugging down some Coors Lights the rest of the
week? Oh, baby. I told you. I'm literally – I got an 18 of Coors Light bottles. The mountains are blue, and they're sitting up by my hot tub. I'm going to be sucking those down all fucking night. Everyone went to the actually, this podcast saved me from having to go to the Chainsmokers concert. No offense to them. I don't know any of their songs. It's not my scene, really. But yeah. Everyone went to the Chainsmokers concert, and they left at 8, which is when we started this podcast. So they were like, hey, you coming? And I was like, no, I got to do section 10. Have fun, though. And then they left, and I was like, oh, can't we just suck down those Coors Lights up there by my jacuzzi?
I mean, these days, everybody gets busy. Whether you're grinding it out at the 9 to 5 or hustling on social media, no matter what you do, everything around you says go, go, go. But when it's finally time to unwind, there's just one thing left to do, and that's to kick back, crack open a cold Coors Light, and chill. Coors Light is the beer of choice for those who value maximum refreshment, It's literally made to chill. Cold lager, below freezing for a crisp taste. Cold filtered for a bright appearance. Cold packaged at the peak of freshness. If you didn't already know, Coors Light is the world's most refreshing beer. The mountains on Coors Light's cold activated packaging turn blue when chilled to the perfect temperature. And yes, I absolutely love that. And I will always love that. It's not called the silver bullet for nothing. When you need to chill, Coors Light is the beer for the job. It doesn't get better than the mountain cold refreshment of Coors Light. So when you want to take it easy, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly.
Yeah, I'm going to be very responsible up on my balcony tonight, just sucking down silver bullets.
Responsibly drinking those. Back to Mitchie, though.
Back to Mitchie. It just made sense. You didn't really have the proven first baseman. You got a guy who's beloved in the clubhouse, postseason experience, gold glove defender, lefty bat. And again, if people were like, oh, great, he's going to spend 80 games on the disabled list. Cool. More time for Chavis to get some work in at first base.
You didn't sign Mitch Moreland to play 162. All right?
No, you didn't. You didn't. And also, like, Bobby Dalbec, I'm very excited for him to get a call. And I'm pretty sure, regardless of if Mitch Moreland plays like 140 games and he's super healthy, you're going to see Dalbec regardless. And the pop in that dude's bat, you're going to be like, whoo-wee!
What was the phrase from last week? Was it ooh-wee? Or like, or was it just that?
Woo-wee!
All right, yeah, that works here. That works.
So that's what you're probably going to feel like watching Bobby Dalbec take BP. He's got some big old popping that bat.
You got a veteran presence in the locker room, a guy that's been around the team, a guy that loves his steak and potatoes. And
you know what my first thought was when I saw that the Red Sox re-signed Mitch Moreland?
A little cooking with Mitch. I'm still trying to find out what his like secret recipe is. He was talking about that to us a couple years ago. He's got like a secret sauce.
It's chocolate.
Oh, true. What were you thinking?
First thing I thought, why not just bring back Brock Holt?
I know. I saw that was all in the comments. Like, wait, if Mitch can get three,
yeah,
be back, then.
I mean, like, no offense to Mitch. I love Mitch. I'm very happy that he's back. I would have given Brock Holt the money to just play first base.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
just platoon with Chavis. Just switch.
Yeah. Like, if you're not, if you're going to trade Mookie, that obviously means that you're not attempting to win baseball games in 2020. Just bring back Brock. Like, at least give us that. Like, you're not better than the Rays right now. You're not better than the Yankees. So if you're going to trade Mookie on top of that, bring back Brock. At least
I'll tell you what, Jared. He'll probably end up being our full-time left fielder in about like 3 days. That's my guess.
Brock Holt?
Yeah, they're going to couple that news. Like, they're going to trade Mookie and then announce that minutes later.
Brock Holt, yeah. And if they trade Mookie and it's like, breaking news, Red Sox signed Brock Holt to a 2-year, $11 million contract. And it's like, I love that.
Dude, yes. Everyone else is going to be like, oh, Mookie's gone. Sick. I'll be like, guys, Brock's back.
Yeah, Brock's back. Hello.
That matters a lot more.
Don't you think it's a little, not fishy's not the right word, but like a little that he's still out there?
I do think it's a little but
like
you have
the Reds wanted him, the Blue Jays. It's not like teams aren't giving him a call, but he's still out there.
Actually, yeah, let's talk to Brock right now. Brock, do you know something?
Do you know something, Brock?
You know something we don't know? I know he's the poster's still good. With Griff, they're still seemingly doing their normal day to day. But Brock, do you know something that we don't know?
I texted him last night.
Does he know something?
I texted him last night, and his response rate is usually, I would give him a solid 98% response rate. I texted him last night. I said, bro, if Mitchie's back, then what the fuck are we doing here? No response.
I feel like,
in that situation, you'd either be like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm probably going to end up in Toronto. It's going to be just fine. Or,
he knows something.
I mean, you can't be like, well, I'll see you soon.
I don't know.
We're getting people excited about Brock Holt coming back right now. People that are listening to this are like, huh, making some points. I have no idea if Brock Holt's come back to the Red Sox. I feel like, I mean, I've already accepted in my head that he's not. So if he does come back, it's going to be 10 times the surprise. And if he doesn't, it's just going to be like, you know what? Get yours, Brock. Get yours.
Yeah, you got Christmas coming up. You're like, I'm not going to get that N64. There's just no way. And then bang, you got it. This could happen. There is a chance it happens.
With a game.
If you asked us a week ago, I would have said zero. I'm probably now at like, what, 5%?
I mean, his no answer basically confirmed that he's come back to the Red Sox.
Yeah, so basically I'm 100%, and I think there's no chance he signs anywhere else.
Right. If the Red Sox trade Mookie Betts, they're going to sign Brock Holt.
Brock Holt is absolutely coming back.
It's like getting an N64 for Christmas, but your parents just like lit your house on fire. So you're just outside holding like a box. And you got nothing to plug it into because you're homeless now.
There's no TV. You got no outlets.
No, you can bring it to your friends. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. Give me the fucking N64. Give me like Star Fox and like WrestleMania 2000 and GoldenEye. I'm fine.
All your friends died. You get no friends.
I'll go to the library. It's fine.
Yeah, Mario Party. We're good.
Yeah, it's fine.
They kick you out.
Coley, it's fine.
You're making too much noise in the library. You're out of there.
Do they allow you to bring Gosling's rum into the library?
You can bring it anywhere from what I'm... Gosling's rum is the spirit of Bermuda, and the dark and stormy is Bermuda's national drink. They don't have a national anthem, but they've got a national drink. Sounds like my kind of people. Dark and stormy is one of the only trademark cocktails in the world, and the only way to make an authentic dark and stormy is with Gosling's Black Seal rum and ginger beer. Our recipe, that's right, ours. Fill a tall glass with ice, pour in about 6 ounces of Gosling's Stormy Ginger Beer, top with 2 ounces of Gosling's Black Seal Rum, so it looks like a storm cloud in the glass, garnish with a lime wedge. That's optional. We don't like to tell people what to do. The name was said to have originated around the 1920s when an old fisherman observed that the drink was the color of a cloud only a fool or dead man would sail under. Probably followed by, barman, I'll have another dark and stormy. Delightful. Gosling's is Bermuda's oldest continuously running business since 1806. The seventh generation is now in charge, with 5 members of the eighth generation currently involved in the family business. ReserveBar.com. Use code 4PLAY for free ground shipping on any Gosling's rum product.
I feel like that's probably not our promo code.
I got a feeling it's section 10.
What a peculiar way to end that ad.
Yeah, 4PLAY, section 10. I feel like both of them probably work.
Yeah, I mean, they both whack balls around. It's fine. Also, shout out to everyone who is doing the hashtag support Bryn campaign. If you're not aware, you get out there, you get a bottle of Gosling's rum, you take a picture with it, you tweet it at us, use the hashtag support Bryn. We don't have anything. Steve, we can do a giveaway for like the best one of the week.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the best one overall, and
let's do the best one of the month.
Yeah, best one of the month. That works.
You take a picture with a bottle of Gosling's rum. Extra points if you were in a Section 10 shirt. Use the hashtag support Bryn, and you can be entered to win something.
Yeah, a free shirt.
Yeah.
Section 10 shirt.
I have a big announcement.
Is your announcement SeatGeek related?
Nope.
Okay, because mine is. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, Jared, and you save time and money, bitch. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get an instant $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $10 off tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code section 10. SeatGeek will immediately take $10 off your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code section 10 today. Big coupon, bitch. Jared announcement.
I have a huge announcement right now.
What do you got?
It's big.
How big?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I don't even think Coley knows about this.
I don't know much.
So I am...
gay?
Nope.
Oh, jeez. Okay, continue.
Keep it.
I got a big announcement.
What do you got?
It's
You're
big.
A Yankees fan now.
Nope.
He's always been Complete a Yankee heel fan. Change.
I got a big announcement.
What is it?
It's big.
How big?
pretty big. Like, it's a big deal.
All right.
Like JD Hammercock big.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
Big cock. All right.
Pretty good.
It's a big deal. I can tell you this. Kurt Schilling, not going to be happy about it.
You've converted to Muslim.
Yeah. Nope. Nope.
But he'd be big. Furious.
He would be furious.
You got another World Series ring somehow.
You've been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Nope.
Kurt's like, all right, now I definitely don't want to be in
this. He's like, count me out. Don't vote for me.
Matter of fact, delete all the games I played.
It's big, but it's big in its impact, but it's small in its tangible physical.
This is so tough. What do you got?
It's a big announcement.
Oh, sure. Okay. Damn. All right.
All right. I'm getting something that is like a big deal in the world of baseball. It's going to piss off Kurt Schilling. And you can purchase them.
Votes for Bernie Sanders. Got to be it.
Make America Great Again hat. Oh, actually, you would like that.
No. Yeah. No.
You can buy it.
Steroids.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, actually, steroids works here.
Still two for two on steroids.
It's going to piss off Kurt Schilling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal.
It's got to be steroids.
Yeah, or HGH. Yeah.
You're doing steroids.
Do you have any guesses, Steve?
I
down the DM, bitch.
It goes down in the DM.
It go down
in the DM.
It go down.
It goes down in the DM.
It go down.
It go down in the DM.
It go down.
Down in the DM, as always, brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face. First one comes in from Jackie. Jackie is.
Oh, Jackie!
Jackie says, you already talked about how.
Wait. Where's she from? Is it a girl? Because Jackie Chan confirmed guy.
It is a girl, yeah.
Where's she from? Is she brunette or blonde?
Brunette. No location.
Well,
she has a location, but I don't know what it is.
What color shirt is she wearing? Is it yellow?
It's black.
All right, never mind. All right, go ahead.
You already talked about
Jackie!
You already talked about how Mookie wouldn't want to accept money from a fan-based Kickstarter. But what about Brock? Should the fans pay for him to take a cheaper deal with the Red Sox?
No.
Next one comes in from Caleb.
Hey, Caleb!
Bryn's not here, so this is unfortunate. But yeah. Wife and I are pregnant, and we just found out we are having a girl. Our top name on the list is Bryn.
Bryn!
I was wondering if I could get Bryn's approval on this. Also, Bryn, do you like your name?
Do you want me to call her?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all right.
All right, I'm going to call her right now. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, Bryn.
Hi.
So we're recording Section 10 right now. We're doing Down in the DM.
Okay.
We just had someone say that they're expecting a child. It is a girl, and the top name that they want to name their child is Bryn, but they want your blessing first.
You have my blessing.
Does she like the name? Does she like
Bryn? Do you like the name, Bryn?
I love that. That's so amazing. I guess I'll ask, when is the baby due? And then
we don't have that info.
Yeah, we don't have that information. Do you have any thoughts while we have you?
Have you done the Gosling's Rum ad read?
Yes, and we told people to send pictures in with hashtag support Bryn.
Yeah, everyone.
That's right.
My thought is that everyone that sent in a support Bryn are the OGs.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing to give you, but the second I do, I would give it to them first.
Wow. That's incredible. Thank you, Bryn.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Are you having a good night?
Yeah. Are you?
Miami. Miami. Great. I'm having a really good time.
All right. Stay safe.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Brynn is just like the most wholesome person in the world.
As wholesome as it gets.
Yeah.
Like there's not a rude bone in her body. She's just like, have fun. All right. Yeah.
She's literally like the definition of wholesome.
This comes in from Grady.
Hey, with Grady. Whoa, we've never got a Grady before. Hey, Grady.
When is the well-respected national baseball writer Kate Upton going to release her piece on the Astros cheating scandal? America needs her thoughts now.
That is true. I mean, I can't speak for Kate Upton, but I would imagine that since the investigation has been going on for months and then the reports about it and then the penalties have been handed down, this has been over like 3 months and we still haven't gotten a column from Kate Upton. I'm just imagining that she's probably doing a really comprehensive piece on it.
Yeah.
To where she just wants to make sure that all the facts are correct. I'm sure she probably has some new information in there that's not already out there. I have no idea how she would obtain information on the inside like that. But if it's taking this long, we can expect it to be the most comprehensive, detailed, thorough account of what's going on inside the Astros cheating scandal.
Also, considering it's going to be that long, takes a long time to proofread.
Right.
So she's probably also reading the piece.
Right, right.
And making sure that it's spelled correctly.
Yep.
This comes in from Anthony.
Anthony!
Now that we have cash considerations from the Lakers trade, is the World Series back on?
No.
This comes in from Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Also known as Thomas, also known as Powder, also known as one of the two kids that came up to us when we were kids, guys, men. When we were having lunch at Winter Weekend.
Oh.
And gave us gift cards for going on their podcast.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Tom.
Super nice. Super.
By the way, I don't know. I just thought of this. I was at the Celtics Heat game last night in Miami. And I was sitting next to Casey Smith, who does not know what the Section 10 hand signal is. So
I feel like she should just by association.
She definitely should know, which is crazy. So like a couple sections to my right, Casey's sitting on my left. These four individuals, they scream my name and I heard them. I look over and they give me the Section 10 hand signal. So then I look back and I give them the Section 10 hand signal back. And Casey was like, what the fuck are you like? She was like, it's just like, don't get into a fight with four fucking people. I can't protect you. And I was like, Casey, it's the Section 10 hand signal. And she's like, what? Like, they probably weren't even like looking at you. I was like, no. That was a Section 10 hand signal. They gave it to me. I gave it to them back. And she was like, John and Kevin are down on the floor. Like they're not going to be able to get up here if like they want to fight. Like, relax.
Casey, no fight is happening. This is love.
Yeah, these are Section 10 listeners. They're diehards. And they came over after a halftime. They were very nice guys. Two of them I met before. Two of them I hadn't met before. But yeah, it was really cool.
So Thomas asks... Wait, hold up. I lost it.
It would be... incredible, though, if there was some like Miami street gang you were unaware of and that was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just got caught up in a good old fashioned mix up.
Miami gang number 10. Thomas asked, what was the moment you guys realized this podcast popped? Like, when did you realize it got as big as it is?
Probably the first Winter Weekend that we went to.
I was going to say Cask. The live show.
I mean, I feel like we knew that Red Sox fans liked it before that. I mean, like,
but that was a new layer, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was holy shit type stuff where, you know, you've banged out a bar hours before first pitch and the whole crowd knows every word to the intro. And then also the live shows at Bill's Bar, like the crowds were bigger and louder and rowdier. And they know the fucking words to the SeatGeek ad read and Sox signatures.
RIP.
But yeah, I mean, in the Winter Weekend after the Red Sox won in 2018, that was the number one Winter Weekend of all time. Like it was insane. I don't think I'll ever experience anything like that ever again in terms of like the pandemonium with Red Sox fans. Like it was insane, but yeah. We've had a few moments.
Yeah, that was that winter weekend was just a ton of fun too, because literally everyone was in a great mood. We're like, we're just going to win it again this year. Like, this team's just going to keep rolling through everybody, and obviously that is not the case. We got a few more here. This comes in from Brian.
Hey, Brian.
He goes, this is a great question, by the way. How the hell am I still seeing Charlie Moore outdoor ads? I'm positive no one watches that show, and all of its ratings are from sleeping Red Sox fans. Brian, that is a great question, and I am stunned. Even since I left Nesson, what, 5 years ago at this point, I was stunned at that point the show was still on the air. I am even more stunned that in 2020, that show is still airing. By all accounts, Charlie Moore is a great dude. This is not about Charlie Moore. I'm just stunned that that show is still on all the time and that people watch it. What are your thoughts?
I love Charlie Moore.
But this isn't about Charlie Moore. I'm talking this show.
I mean, like, I've been in New York. I can't see Nesson unless, I mean, I watch the Red Sox games, but I don't watch Nesson. But I love Charlie Moore. Great dude. I want to be on the show.
Yeah, why not? It comes in from Scott.
Hey, Scott.
If the Sox do not re-sign Brock Holt, when do we riot? That's not how this goes, Scott.
Yeah, I don't think we can just riot. It's definitely illegal. But I think if the Red Sox trade Mookie Betts, PR 101, it's like, got to give us something. Give us Brock Holt. Bring him back.
Give us, give the people what they want. Jalen and Jacoby phrase. This comes in from
I'm sure John. Like that would get absolutely massacred by like the actual like mainstream media. They'd be like, oh yeah, you trade your franchise player so you bring back Brock Holt, the fan favorite. Like,
like, so we get out of a depression.
Yeah.
Bring back Brock Holt.
Right. The fuck's wrong with that?
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah. This comes in from John.
Hey, John.
Hey guys, John from Las Vegas. I actually met John in Baltimore. Really nice guy. Did you guys hit the tables at Winter Weekend? On a related note, who do you think is the best gambler on the Red Sox?
No, I didn't hit them. I feel like they'd probably kick us out.
What a weird thing, right? If you just ran up and just punched the tables, they'd be like, dude.
They'd be like, whoa. I mean, the tables are brand new.
And also with the security there, you'd probably be tackled by 20 different people.
Yeah, I mean, they almost kicked me out for fucking breathing.
The way you were breathing, though.
It was, it was much, but like, I don't know. It's still... seems like something that you wouldn't kick somebody out for.
No, I know. They had a point. Yeah. They had a point. Like I thought it was excessive.
Best gambler on the team.
Gambler. See, that's way different than like who would gamble the most. Best gambler. I feel like Jackie. Jackie seemed very composed at the tables. He was there for a little bit. I'm going with.
So did Backpacks. Backpacks was actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, he had that stand up game going. He wasn't sitting down. He was in for the action.
It was actually pretty funny. Devers kept trying to steal chips from JD.
I like that.
Yeah. He just kept losing. And then, JD had
like, sir.
Yeah. JD had a fat stack of chips and Devers kept like stealing chips from his pile. So it's not Devers.
Sadly did not hit the tables, even though Casino Steve was out and about. It was a weird winter weekend.
I don't know why we have to like say that it's weird. We can just say it was bad. It was bad.
I didn't have an awful time though, so I don't want to say it was bad.
It was bad.
I had a little bit of fun.
I had fun like seeing the listeners, but outside of that, they didn't let us into the fucking building where Winter Weekend was being held. Like we didn't even go to Winter Weekend. We went to the casino.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we basically just went to a casino and didn't gamble. That's fun. Mm-hmm. This comes in from Mike.
Hey, Mike.
And it's kind of a weird one. He goes, I'm getting a tattoo of Yoda for my dog named Yoda. I'm stuck on design. Can I get some help? I'll get the best idea tattooed on me. Just get a baby Yoda.
Yeah, you have to get baby Yoda.
And that's a really cool thing to show off to the ladies.
Yeah, ladies be like, oh my God, is that baby Yoda? God,
I saw the whole show. He's so cute.
Oh my God, do you have baby Yoda tattoo?
Do you know Mando?
Yeah, I mean, baby Yoda. God. Baby Yoda is very, very cute. Very adorable.
Extremely cute. Like, next level cute. Jared, real quick, who's the manager of the Red Sox?
No one. Steve, the fuck?
Emptying the bench real quick. Kobe died. That was pretty nuts. I still can't really believe that happened. I feel like that impacts where I work at Bleacher Report a lot. We did a
not
lot
even
of
even from like
stuff.
A sports standpoint, that's gotta be the most shocking celebrity death of our lifetime.
It's between him and Michael Jackson.
But like even Michael Jackson, when he died, people were still like iffy about him. Like with Kobe, even given the context of his background, it was still, I mean, the entire, like that was the first time, because even Michael Jackson, when he died, Twitter was still in its infancy stages.
It wasn't really social media at that point. Yeah, this is the first like huge one where it's like, oh, everybody has a reaction.
Yes, social media stood still and just like praised one person, talked about one event. I mean, there's nothing in my lifetime that's ever come close to that. But obviously very sad, you know, his daughter, the others,
that's brutal,
you know, Red Sox ties, obviously, with the others that were on the helicopter. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where like, I didn't even tweet anything because like I said this on radio, I was like, well, like it's very sad. And I obviously, I mean, like just like everyone else felt awful, hearing the news, but people don't look to like no one heard that news and was like, oh, I want to see what fucking Jared Carrabba.
You're a baseball guy. I know I probably dabble in more basketball stuff than you do.
You like basketball.
That's not breaking any news, but yeah, it's just stunning. I mean, it's really just stunning. I remember just seeing the initial TMZ article and you're thinking that can't be true. And
oh, that's fake.
But TMZ's in Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. I believe their headquarters is in LA. And so for them to put that story out there, you got to figure they knew it was real. And we were
on the fucking plane when the news broke.
Yeah.
And it almost just was like a shockwave on the plane. Like you just, like it went from like everyone was like dead quiet on the plane to just you heard murmurs and you knew what that was. Like you knew, like people were like, oh my God, like did you see it? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, and you could just hear people like, like the news spread like wildfire on the plane. And like when we got to the airport, you're walking, walking past people on the street, like everyone was talking about it. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, it speaks to his legacy that everyone, like it was a, you'll remember where you were when you heard the news.
There's only so many of those. There's not a lot of those. You'll remember where you were with a breaking news bite, but RIP Kobe. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Coley and Trill had a great podcast, great mixtape on this whole thing. You guys should check that out if you got the time. Coley had to bounce with this podcast, but yeah, definitely check that out. They did a really good job. It still just doesn't feel real. I mean, the thing with Kobe that I was so impressed with is what he was doing after his career. Like he had probably one of the most active post careers of anyone I can ever remember. Normally you retire and you just chill the rest of your life. Kobe was ready to do so much more. Dude won an Oscar. His daughter could have played for UConn, could have gone on to be huge for women's basketball. So an extremely sad.
She was going to play for UConn.
Yeah, no, I know. So it was just,
she was sick with it.
Extremely sad. News, and it's a weird one to react to because we haven't had anything this stunning, I don't think, at least from an athlete's perspective. Athlete death, Muhammad Ali, you could see that coming. You know, an absolute legend, but he was obviously up there. Jose Fernandez, that was stunning. That was absolutely stunning. And the more you found out about it, it was tough to have any kind of take without people jumping down your throat on that. So pretty nuts, but sports world is going to move on. I'll be interested to see how the NBA handles this because we haven't heard a ton from them. They have their statement, but like in terms of what they're going to do moving forward, if it's like teams wearing patches in the jerseys or whatnot, or what's going to happen if they retire the number.
I mean, the Mavericks already said they were going to do that.
I thought that was strange just that like 3 hours later, like Cuban's like, yeah, we're retiring 24. I'm like, the Mavericks? That's interesting. But I'd be down with the league retiring it. I think people saying Kobe should be the logo. It's like, just leave the logo. Doesn't have to get involved with this. I think 24 around the league would be cool. We'll see what happens. That's all I got. Do you have any other stuff?
I have a big announcement.
All right, sick. Wouldn't want to cuff you.
The lot, turn the fuck 12, fuck SWAT, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a link with the box, had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole damn field, I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo deals, we been trapping like the 80s. She said the nigga soul, got the cash out. Told him wipe a nigga, no, say slash slash. I won't never sell.
my soul. And I can back that. And I really wanna know where you at, where I was at back. Where the stash at? Cruise the city in a bulletproof Cadillac. Cause I know these niggas out there where the bag at. Gotta move smarter, gotta move harder. Nigga try to give me 5 mile water. I lay his ass down on my son, on my daughter. I had the Draco with me, Dwayne Carter. Lot of niggas out here playing, ain't ballin'.
Going to the beach, just like, hey ladies, where's is the beach that way?
Right.
Yep.
You know. You already know.
Hey ladies, is that the beach?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah, there is still kind of a ringing. I don't know what that is.
That's not here.
I mean, that's probably here.
Yeah. Well, tell them to fucking calm it down.
Yeah, tell them to stop ringing.
I think it's my fridge.
It's nearly 8:30 p.m. in Miami, a notoriously quiet town.
Yeah.
A sleepy hollow.
Yes. You know, I randomly got a fucking Instagram follow from Bryce Harper today. Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, is he going to tell you to tell me to stop telling everyone that Mookie Betts is much better than him?
I think he knows that.
Trust him. My, oh my. He's only here for one thing, but so am I. A little bit older, a black leather jacket, a bad reputation, insatiable habits. He was on to me, one look and I couldn't breathe. Yeah, I said if you kiss me, I might let it happen.
Make a turn on the daddy, the baby. Make her forget what she learned from her daddy. I don't be tripping on this shawty. I let her do whatever she please. I don't be kissing on this shawty. She don't be kissing on me either. She came with you and left with me. I went up a point. Let's call it even. Don't like the car. She ain't gonna end up buying her new Beamer. That girl know what she wants. She make me take it off if she see me. She say I make her wet whenever my face pop up on TV. I had to say no disrespect. Gotta do it safer. You can keep it. Pop star. I'm fresh about the trap and I'm going Bieber. She know I'm gonna call away. She can drop a pin and I come meet her. Stand next to me, you gon' end up catching a fever. I'm hot.